Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've looked at this series of Who is Jesus, Lord, I thank you for how I've grown, for where you've changed me. Lord, I just pray that you have used this time that's not only the Sunday morning message, but the small groups that we've been going through the same study together, Lord, that you've been using in the lives of your people here, Lord. Thank you for all the stories I've heard and the people sharing with me of what God's been doing in their lives through this time, Lord. I just pray that you would continue to minister to your people through your word. Father, it's so exciting to know that you are not done with us yet, that we are your children. And so as we finish up today, On our last week in the series of Who is Jesus, Lord, prepare us for your word. Prepare our minds and our hearts. Let all the other distractions and junk be put aside. Father, we pray for a holy spiritual covering over this place. Father, we ask for forgiveness from our sin. We thank you, Lord, that you do forgive us because of what you've done, because of the relationship you have with us. And as we come to faith in you by your grace and receive what you've done, Lord, we are forgiven of our sins. So, Father, I pray for each one here. Prepare us for your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Good. Well, a couple of things here. As we get started, 1 Timothy 1:1 says this: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. Well, let's read that one more time. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and Christ Jesus, our hope. Our hope is in Christ Jesus alone. We've been looking at who is Jesus. Jesus is our hope. And as we look at that, you know, what happens when you lose hope in life? When you're hopeless, what are the thoughts and feelings that go around? Pretty soon, the emotions can build and the smallest things can just crush us, let alone the big things. And when our hope is in Jesus Christ, something is significantly different. And so I want us to be thinking about, you know, where is my hope? Where is my hope? What happens when you get rid of the foundation of God's truth in your life? What happens when you get rid of the hope that we have in the Word of God? Nietzsche popularized a saying many years ago, which is, God is dead. And it's been a message that the culture has been trying to move forward with for many years since. God is dead. And we hear it all the time, whether we hear those exact words or we hear remnants and ideas behind those words. God is dead. There's the Wexler Center for the Arts, and the Wexler Center for the Arts has the guy who designed it, the architect. He wanted to build the first American postmodern building, and that means that he wanted postmodern. What does that mean? What's a postmodern building? Well, it means there's no purpose for the building. So he built this building with stairs to nowhere, with rooms that were of sizes that you couldn't use. And this whole beautiful, amazing building is built on what? It's built on stuff that's, man. And so the question goes, you know, when you've built this postmodern building and it has of no value, it has no use whatsoever, the question needs to go to this. Was the same idea used for the foundation of the building? Can you build a building with no purpose, with the foundation having no purpose and no reason? It would crumble. It would fall apart. You can't build a building. No matter how useless the building is, the foundation has to be secure. And so this postmodern building isn't so postmodern after all. Because there's purpose. Without purpose, without design, without a reason, guess what happens? Hope dissipates. Hope goes away. But we have a God who loves us and has given us a purpose, and we have a purpose in Him. But we have a culture that says, you know what? I'm offended by any statement that leads to a purpose in life, a designer, a God, a creator. And anything that leads to any, you know, in Europe, there's a number of universities now that they have in the vending machines, they have the morning after pill. So that you can live however you want. Because nothing really matters. And all you got to do is pop in your coins. Problem taken care of. You see, when we try and convince ourselves that we live in this postmodern world where nothing has value, nothing has meaning, where there's no purpose, our ability to justify actions that we take becomes incredible. And the lack of joy and the lack of peace starts to become deafening. So what foundation is your life built on? Do you have hope? Do you know what it's like to live with the hope of Jesus Christ? One of the ways, one of the focuses areas that we do that is by focusing on eternity. Focusing on eternity. Romans 8:22 says, We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait patiently for it. Building our lives, building our who we are on the hope of eternity. You know, it's interesting. One of the things we don't talk a lot about in church is heaven. Isn't that interesting? We talk a lot about sin. We talk a lot about man. We talk a lot about God, but we don't talk a lot about heaven. As the reason we have a hope is because God has prepared a place for us. What are you long for? What is it that you're learning for? It says there's the groaning, even the earth is groaning and we are groaning and there's we're longing for something. We've got a taste of salvation and then we want more. The first fruits, we've got an idea of who God is. And so there's something inside us that's longing and hoping for something more in our adoption as children of God. And in this hope, we're saved. We're saved. And it's not something, you know, it's interesting. What causes someone to feel hopeless often when you don't have a purpose. When you don't have a purpose. When you're feeling like there's no reason to life. There's no purpose to it all. All of this is by accident. And my heart breaks for the masses of people who go throughout life and their God is what they see. Their God is what they can see. And that's all that they live for is what is seen. And it's interesting in the church. I was talking with somebody about this earlier this week. In the church, some theology gets a little bit messed up. And why is it that the prosperity gospel has crept into the evangelical church? And I think one of the main reasons that the idea that God wants us to be wealthy and rich here on earth is because we take scripture that's meant for eternity in Christ and we put it into this life. But we are eternal. We have eternal value. We will live forever with God in Christ Jesus through faith. And if we try and take scripture that's talking about, man, the blessings of eternal life, and we try and take that and put it into humanity here and now, and that God wants, man, our theology is going to get twisted because we're going to start making the things of this world our God. We're going to start judging our spirituality on how blessed we are here and now. Physically blessed here and now. It says here, for in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they have already? See, our hope is not in what we have now. Guys, did you hear that? Our hope is not what we can get now. It's not in being more successful now in what is seen. But if we hope for what we do not have yet have, we wait patiently. We wait for it patiently. Anybody here like waiting? It's rough. I hate waiting sometimes. Man, especially when you're really excited about something. When you're excited, I mean, think of a kid on Christmas morning. Think of we've got some birthdays over here today, you know, when the presents come and Jenny and Jeff have their birthdays. Today's Jenny's and Jeff's is on Tuesday. Is that right? Man, happy birthday, you guys. with the expectation of what is coming, with the excitement of what is coming, man, it's... And when we talk about having the hope in Christ Jesus, when we talk about what is coming in eternity, when we come and go and be with the Lord, guys, what happens to our fear of death? What happens to the troubles of this world? You see, one of the reasons that hope enslaves, or the lack of hope enslaves so many people, is because this world is all there is for them. And when this is your world, when this is it, and you don't get what you're aiming at, it all comes crashing down. You have no identity. You have no purpose. And to live without purpose is no life at all. Hebrews 10:23 says this, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Guys, we have a purpose, an eternal purpose. Don't settle for striving for the riches of this world. Don't settle for making this world what you aim at and the riches of this world your goal. Strive for eternal riches. Prosperity misses the truth. The prosperity gospel, it does. It misses the truth. It misses the truth that Jesus is the one we hope in. But I love this. It says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Why? Because he who promised is faithful. We have a God who doesn't say one thing and do another. We have a God who says what he means and follows through and gets it done. And let us consider how we can spur one another on towards love and good deeds. That means we don't just follow this God on our own, but we do it together. Another area where we We will struggle with hope as if we try and only, it's me and God against the world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two things. Guys, it's interesting because we're not called to put our trust in each other. We're called to love each other and trust God. And hope comes from what? Putting, I have a hope that is real and it's vital because I put my trust in the one who follows through with what he says and does. And so we can have peace that God, he is not going to give up on us. He is not going to abandon us and turn his back on us. We have a God who knows us and loves us and has given himself for us. And if we come by faith to him, we can have eternal life. Hebrews 6:16 says, people swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchanging things, the promise of the oath, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. I love the picture at the end there, the picture of what makes us firm and secure. Well, our hope is solid. Why? Because we're anchored to what is real. It's interesting. When you deal with the anchor has a few ways that it's used. Number one is if you just stop your boat and let it sit and don't put the anchor down, what happens to your vessel? It drifts and it's in danger from whatever it comes across, right? So when we have a secure anchor, it holds us so that we don't go and come crashing into things that can hurt us. There's another use for an anchor, and that is when things go south completely and there's no way for, everything's given up, all the power shut down. What is often used is the anchor will be used to be thrown in the water and up ahead, pulled on, and moved to the right place so that you're actually moving the vessel by using the anchor. All these things are doing what? They're having a secure hold on what is firm and what's trustworthy, what's not going to let you down. Has anybody here ever leaned hard on things in life that failed them? Has anybody here ever put your anchor down on relationships and then come out wanting? Has anybody ever trusted the person rather than God? Because there's so many things that we can put our anchor on, and they're not all bad. They're not all bad. There's good things we could put our anchor on. Family is a wonderful thing, right? Is family worth worshiping? It's a good thing. God loves family, right? Family's important. But we don't worship our family. Our identity doesn't come from the family. Now, it can at times. It can also come from what? Our job, right? Often when you meet somebody and they say, well, who are you? What do we say? My name, I'm Matthew Truck. Oh, I'm a pastor. We give our job title as we talk about who we are, right? Who are you? My name and what I do. The identity of being a child of God, of having our hope in him. Guys, I can't tell all those years. We spent 6 years in Uganda. And I was on many trips outside of New Hope. And when you look into the face of a child who doesn't have a parent, who doesn't remember having a parent, who is broken on the inside, who is in survival mode, not living mode. They are trying to get through today. Tomorrow has no, is of no, there's no concept of tomorrow. All that matters is today, survival for today. And time and again, we looked into the eyes of children who had no hope. And it's heartbreaking. But you don't have to go to another country to find that, do you? It's in our own backyard. And some of the people that are struggling with a lack of hope more than anyone else are the people that we think have some things in life worth having. If you look at, I mean, what do we have in this community a lot of? We've got a lot of gang activity, don't we? We've got a lot of gang members. And they seem really secure in their strength and their numbers. And what causes somebody to join a gang? They've got no one to be there for them, right? They've got no protection. Their hope in this life is non-existent, and they're looking for a purpose and a hope and a reason. And they've been failed time and again. And we can go out with the truth, with the hope of Christ. Verse 18, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. See, God wants us to be encouraged in him. An encouragement that's found in him is eternal. And it's a powerful thing. So how do we take hold of this hope? It says, take hold of the hope set before us. We don't have to live in that survival mode. We don't. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Guys, we've been born again into a living hope. What does it mean to, what's a living hope? What's a living hope? Jesus Christ was what? He was killed and buried and died. Did he stay dead? He rose again. He conquered death. We have a God who's given us a living hope. We don't serve a great God who gave us a perfect offering and Jesus died for our sins. And so our sins been paid, but he's still in the grave. We serve a living hope where Christ raised from the dead and conquered death, conquered sin. And so now our hope is not dead, it's living. We've been born again. Doesn't that sound weird to be born again? You know, I think Paul said, you know, how can I go and to my mother's womb, and it doesn't make sense. It's not talking about the physical, it's talking about spiritual, eternal life. Because guys, what do we see? There's a show called, I think it's The Living Dead. I've never seen it myself, but it's about zombies. Walking Dead, thank you, that's it. Walking Dead. Okay, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little bit freaked out if I saw dead people walking. But guys, you know what? We should be freaked out. But because knowing Christ is eternity in living with him. It's eternal life. It's going from death, spiritual death, to spiritual life. We've got the living, walking dead out there who are spiritually dead. And our weapons are not guns to protect ourselves from them. Our weapon is the word of God, which is to go out and bless them and share this living hope that we have. Guys, if hope is real, guys, if you get nothing else, get this. If hope is real, it should transform us in such a way that we want this blessing that we have, this life, this hope, this joy, this passion, this pleasure, this peace. We want to give that away. And we're willing to have uncomfortable conversations. We're willing to speak truth in love. We're willing to risk looking the fool. We're willing to set down being right and instead be loving. Rather than arguing. Have you ever argued anyone into the kingdom? No. But when we reach out with the truth and love and we share the gospel and we it's a living hope. We serve a living Savior. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. New birth into a living hope. I love that. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's alive. And because Jesus is alive, it changes everything. So as we've looked at this week, as we looked at Jesus is God, Jesus is the creator. As we've looked at different aspects of Jesus, that he's our high priest, if we looked at all these different areas of how Jesus connects with us in our lives and how we can worship him, my hope and prayer is that you've been challenged with your view of who Jesus is. Because if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus Christ. If you want to have a greater understanding of the Trinity, which we're going into for the next couple of weeks, take a look at Jesus. New birth into a living hope. Let me ask you this, and I want to end with this. It says, in his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope. What's the opposite of that? That old death in what? That old death and that sense of there's no peace. There's no joy. There's none of that because there is no purpose in this world. Guys, we can buy into the building. We can, you remember that story at the beginning? We can buy into the story that look at this beautiful creation of this building that has no purpose. And we can wander aimlessly. Let me ask you this. Besides looking at a building, what can you use a building with no purpose for? All it does is show the need for a reason and a purpose, right? That's all it does. It only shows the need. We've got people in our world who are wandering through life in the buildings and the lives of no purpose. And then we wonder why there's all this brokenness around us. As, do we want to see things change? Government's not going to change our future. There's things that government can do that can help here and hurt here. But government is not the answer. Countries that make it illegal to follow God, to follow Jesus Christ, That you have to worship the state and worship the leader? Why do you think everybody is trying to get out of those countries and somewhere else? We have a country where we're free to worship how we see. There's a reason, there's a purpose. We can have a living hope. Let me make it more personal. Where do you stand? Personally, you. Not us and them and you. Do you know peace right now? Do you have a hope that is eternal and living? Do you know who Jesus Christ is intimately and personally? Have you been going through the motions of religion? Or do you understand who Jesus is in your life personally? Don't get fooled with the religion of Christianity, the rules, the do's and don'ts, the religious activity of being good enough, of doing enough right to outdo your wrong. That's not faith in Jesus Christ. That's exhausting religion. Faith in Jesus means humbling ourselves before a God who knows us and loves us and says, I've given myself for you. I've given everything for you so that you could be whole in the midst of brokenness. Find a living hope in Him. Don't settle for the lie of religion. Jesus knows you. He knows what you've done right and wrong, and He loves you anyway. He's seen all your worst moments. He's intimately involved in your life. And He says, come home. Come home. If there's anybody here where it's time to go home, my prayer is that today is homecoming day. Today is the day you say, you know what? I'm tired of doing this religious thing. I'm tired of faking it, of speaking Christianese. I'm tired of looking at truth from the edges. I want something real. I don't want feelings that come and go. I want truth. I want Jesus Christ. If that's you, let's close in prayer. And if that's you, let's pray together. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, today my hope and prayer is that He is revealing Himself to you. And you will say yes to Him. If that's you, in the quietness of your heart, quietly with your mouth, you can pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. I ask for forgiveness for my sin. I choose to turn away from living for me. And I receive you. I receive what you've done for me. I receive your death, burial, and resurrection. I choose to follow you. I don't know what that means fully, but I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for giving yourself for me. I choose to love you back. I give you my life. I thank you for the hope that I now have that's a living hope in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.